Hey guys, it's Phil Hendry, and I want you to take advantage of the opportunity to see our show, The World of Phil Hendry, Truth is Our Bitch. It's me, it's a one-man show, and it's coming to the Irvine Improv, which is a beautiful big house there in Irvine, California, a 400-seater. Lots of opportunity for you to see the show if you got shut out the first two times. Both of our first two shows were sellouts. We expect this one will be too, and so there's no time like the present. Pick up a pair of tickets, or one, or ten, however many you think you'll need. Buy ten and only use one. Yeah, but I'm just kidding, of course. Buy ten and sell the rest to your friends. I don't know. Don't scalp them. I don't want to run afoul of the law. We run afoul of the law enough on stage. But anyway.
Oh, he's kidding.
Yeah, I'm actually kidding, but not by much. So come on out and see us. It's September the 11th at the Irvine Improv for The World of Phil Hendry, Truth is Our Bitch. It's a night of me going in and out of character, in and out of situations, in and out, well, that's about all of that that I want to talk about.
Yeah, I think you're wandering into some dangerous territory there.
Anyway, The World of Phil Hendry, Truth is Our Bitch, September 11th, the Irvine Improv. It'll be epic, record-setting. Oh, yeah.
Motherfucking tightrope, and I make that pussy tap out. I knock that pussy out cold, nigga, you get beat the crap out. But that just how the dice roll. These hoes want that hose pipe, so I give all these hoes pipes.
This is Margaret Gray. I want everyone to know that I think Phil is in a very strange mood this morning. He doesn't believe anything. He doesn't want to believe anyone.
Not that I don't believe anything.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm talking. He doesn't believe anything. He thinks the news is full of it. He thinks all these stories are made up.
Behind your back like nunchucks, and that's fucked up.
Phil, I think that behooves us to mention this.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us here in this segment. I realize that it's just one of those days. Jay, you ever have those?
I think I do, Phil. I have a lot of those days, so I understand. I totally understand what you're talking about.
Jay, this is a story. I don't want to get into the actual story. I want to just the peripheral events of this story having to do with the beating of this guy. This guy allegedly was sexually assaulting this kid. The father walks in, sees this, and starts beating this guy's ass. That's what he said.
Right.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of the guy who was allegedly attacked. It says mugshot. At first, I thought it was the father because his face was unmarked. But then it said Florida mugshot, July 21st. So the mugshot has got to be the attacker.
That would be my understanding. Yeah, we have been in touch with Gator Bay Brigade, as well as the Florida Department of the Volunteer Patrol.
The Florida Department of the Volunteer Patrol, is that Citizens Auxiliary Police?
That is our Citizens Auxiliary Police in the Orlando, Florida area, which does cover Daytona Beach as well.
Okay, it's called what?
It's called the Florida Department of the Volunteer Patrol. How many times do you want me to say it? Yeah.
Well, Jay, you know, we're just asking questions.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
No, it's just you're asking me, you know, you're being suspicious.
Well, yeah, you're being suspicious, Phil.
Oh, yeah, so thank you, General. So I'm automatically going to assume you don't believe what I'm saying.
No, I believe you. I'm sorry. I just wanted the name of, it's an unusual name.
Well, I don't, the Florida Department, follow with me, it's not that unusual. Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol.
Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol.
No, it's not.
What is it?
Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol.
Oh, the Florida Department of a Voluntary...
Yeah, my voice didn't crack. I didn't go Florida Department of Voluntary Patrol.
Well, I'm sorry, but...
Get some water, General.
I'll get some water.
Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol, okay.
No, not Voluntary Control.
Voluntary Patrol, I said it.
Well, you messed it up, sort of.
All right, I'm sorry I messed it up. I think I got it right. Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol.
That is correct, right. That is absolutely correct.
Okay. They checked this out?
They were in touch with the Volusia County Sheriff as well as Daytona Beach Police as private citizens. They did not come upon the scene. It was that time they said, could we see the mugshot? Because I know Dory Dunlap, who is the head of the Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol. I know Dory Dunlap. He's one of the founders of the Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol. He's a very close friend of mine as well.
Now, this guy's name is Dory Dunlap, and...
That's correct. He is the he's the commander-in-chief, or His Excellency, the commander-in-chief of the Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol.
What is his title?
God, God, you people got a lot of questions this morning.
But Jay, we're finding out these things as we go about these different groups that you know. What is his title?
His Excellency, Commander-in-Chief of the Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol.
His Excellency.
Jesus Christ, what do you guys think? You think you got daffodils shoved up your rear ends?
Yes, Lieutenant General, I have always had respect for you and your service in the military. And for you to say I got a daffodil parked up my rear end like I'm some kind of a fairy.
I didn't say that. I said you guys think... Fairy? You guys are calling yourselves His Excellency.
No, he's not. It's the Florida Department.
Right, the Florida Department of the Voluntary Patrol.
Right, the Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol.
And what is the name of this again?
It's the Florida Department of a... Don't say it, Jay.
God damn. I mean, you got...
It's the Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol. I'll do it.
Well, I'm just asking you because people want to know.
I think that the name of this organization has been well articulated. Go, Phil, please.
All right. My question, Jay, is this mugshot does not show the face of a man who's had the crap kicked out of him. So what do you think?
Well, I think there are. I think you're making some very good points. I think there are questions concerning if I can tell you this right now, Phil. If the Citizens Auxiliary Police or the Florida Department of a Voluntary Patrol, including His Excellency the Commander-in-Chief Dory Dunlap or Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, if either one of us had gotten a hold of this guy, let me tell you what. Yeah, I don't even want to. I can't even describe it. I mean, his face, his head would just be lit. It wouldn't look like a head. It would look like just a big tomato. Just be a big red thing. So I can tell you right now, I think that maybe this guy who says he beat the guy up, the father of the kid,
right?
Maybe he's not as badass as he thinks he is. Because a lot of guys think they're badass. And come to find out, that when they, you know, when push comes to shove, and you go and you're going to go throw down with a guy, and you're not as badass as you thought you were. I remember when I saw that boat race down there in Land Lakes, down there near St. Louis, Missouri, and those people were allegedly in a boat race, and that guy put a rooster cam on the back of that boat, and he said, that thing is badass. And then the boat flipped. He looked like a real ass, you know.
All right, I think we've got the gist of your point about, quote, badass. You're saying that the man who beat this man up could not have been that tough.
Yeah, is that what you're saying? That, in other words, this guy thought he beat this guy's face in but didn't?
Oh, obviously he didn't. I mean, take a look at this guy. The dude that claims he kicked this guy's ass, whose name is being withheld, by the way. The only name we know is this Frohlander. And his Frohlander thinks he's badass. You know?
No, Frohlander doesn't think he's badass. Frohlander is the guy that got his ass kicked. Frohlander is the guy who allegedly attacked this kid. Frohlander is the guy who then got his ass kicked by the father. Frohlander is the guy who apparently had done this once before to the boy 3 years ago, but then left town. Frohlander's the one who allegedly did this 3 years ago, but the facts of this were kept from the father. The boy never said anything about it. The police told the father as of yesterday and the day before, otherwise he never would have known about that, and I'm assuming it's because this Frohlander, or the boy, told the police. I don't know.
Well, see, we're having to assume all things, but you just want to know what a guy's face. If a guy did what this guy's alleged to have done, Citizens Auxiliary Police, we're not going to go around telling everyone how badass we are. We're going in, and we're going to get the job done. We're going to take care of business. As simple as that.
Well, all right, see, but this is where we get into this kind of vigilante stuff. Are you telling me you're going to beat this guy up for kicks?
I'm saying to you, Mr. Henry, that if we came in on a guy assaulting an individual the way this guy was assaulting that boy, and he turns around on me and he says, hi, my name's Ray Frohlander, and I'm banana, I can assure you, Mr. Henry, I would do what is called this is one that I think I told you about, our three-step takedown. This is called the down low. The down low is where you punch down at the ground. Now, that is an unusual move for anyone to make. When you use the left hand and you punch to the ground. When he looks down at the punch to the ground, then you punch up to the sky with the right hand. Now he looks up. Now he thinks he's dealing with someone who has some physical malady. He thinks he's dealing with a man who has either a physical malady or is going into some kind of a ritual, but he's fascinated by it. See, you punch to the ground, you punch up, You fake like you're going to kick this guy in the groin, and he will flinch. Now he's really perturbed at what's going on. Now he's going to move. And when he runs at you, which is what he's going to do, because you got to keep yourself about 3 feet from the guy, when he runs at you, you step to one side, stick your foot out, and trip him, and that's when the other sub-commanders are on him like stink on shit. You know, pardon my language about that.
I don't appreciate the language at all.
I'm sorry. So they're on him like wine on rice. That's what I think he's bad at.
All right, let me...
I'll do it. So, Santos, you first punch toward the ground, and the guy looks down like you're some kind of a weird ass.
That's correct.
Then you punch up in the air with your right hand.
That's correct, yeah.
So it's almost like a diagonal move. And then you fake like you're going to kick him in the crotch, and he flinches. Then you're anticipating that he'll get so angry he lunges at you.
That is correct. And that's not anticipation. That's based on experience.
All right, so it's based on experience. And as he lunges at you, you step to what, the right or the left?
Step to your left.
Step to your left, stick your right leg out and trip him.
That's correct.
Why do you have to go through all of the machinations?
Well, in order to get a guy to think about it, General, if you're going to get a guy to trip like some stumble bum, like some guy just stumble around, you're going to get that guy to trip. I got news for you. You know, that's going to be that's quite a feat. So what you have to do is do some weird things to get the guy all discombobulated. He's going to go, what? What'd you do that for? And you go, hey, and watch this. Now he's all weirded out. Then you fake like you're going to kick him in the NS. We call the NS the nutsack, but I know you don't want me to say that.
Well, you just said it, though.
Well, I apologize.
Yeah, there's no reason for saying NS if you're going to say what it means.
I apologize. So you fake like you're going to kick the guy in the NS, and then when he lunges at you because he's had about enough, that's what we call the limit. And that's when a guy has had about enough of your tomfoolery. You punch it down at the ground, you're punching up in the air, you fake like you're going to kick him and you don't. Now he's all pissed off going, you know what, I got to make my move and put a stop to this. He lunges at you, you step to one side and trip him, and then you use the whistle. All citizens auxiliary police members do have a whistle, and you blow the whistle, and that's when all the citizens auxiliary police sub-commanders, linear commanders, and full bore commanders jump him like white on rice, and then hoist him in what we call the CAP sack. We've got a net. We just throw a net over a guy, hoist it up like a sack, and throw him in the back of the subcommander vehicle. Yeah, Mr. I can tell by the silence here.
Well, I mean, you know, the things you describe here...
No, I can tell by the silence you think I'm full of it, that I'm not telling the truth. I'm telling you, this is how we do business.
Jay, there's no doubt that you do things in an unusual way. My question right off the bat is, how can you anticipate that the man's going to lunge at you?
Yeah, that's a very good point. You can't for sure know what he's going to do.
No, you cannot. That is true. But in our experience, and our experience is quite, I don't want to say anything, but our experience is quite, you know, we've been around. We've been around a block. I can tell you that when the individual sees you punch at the ground, punch in the air, and then fake like you're going to kick him in the NS, and you don't. Because think about that. That's a pretty... That'll make anybody angry, kick a guy right square in the sack. And when you don't, when you pull the kick, then he's like, you know what, all bets are off. I'm just going to put an end to this myself. And he dives at you. He does a full lunging dive. You stick the right leg out and trip. Now, if he dives, if he's airborne, and you have nothing to trip. Says if someone dives, Mr. Andreas, I'm sure you can imagine he's airborne.
Well, I mean, diving so that you're fully airborne, and you've only got 3 feet to go before you make contact with the guy, I don't know if you're going to get both feet off the ground.
But in some instances, you might. And that's why we recommend any kind of a shield. If you can get a hold of anything that you stick it up there and he dives right into a hard, for instance, if you got a piece of wood or a garbage can lid, anything. And what people, we call it a cartoon move, because a lot of times when you stick a garbage can lid there, the guy goes, bang, like a garbage can. Not that it really happened like that.
You're kidding me? There's no garbage can lid going to be there.
How are you going to get a garbage can lid?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't really know what the reaction's going to be.
Yes, Ms. Gregg. Excuse me, I should be on the microphone.
Ms. Gregg.
Jesus Christ, Santos. How'd you get in here? And God, are you ugly.
I apologize. Ms. Gregg, what I'm saying is, please don't come through the phone, General.
No, I don't have the time right now. I've got to be at a dentist appointment in a few minutes. Otherwise, I'd come through that phone and I'd give you what for.
I appreciate it. Ms. Gregg, what I'm saying is, experience that we've had leads us to believe that a man will do a lunge move and be airborne, or not airborne. Most of the time he's not airborne. We can trip him.
Yeah, not airborne. That's why you use the trip move. The airborne thing means you got to have a garbage can lid close by.
Not a garbage can, maybe a garbage can lid, just anything. Just stick something as the guy's flying through the air. Stick something in the air so his head hits it. Garbage can lid works, a chair, a book, just a big atlas, and he's just like, bling, 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 you know. And I'm saying bling, 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 because that's just, that's the sound that they make on a cartoon. I'm not saying it's going to really happen, but it does connote to anyone listening to this will happen.
If a man flies through the air and hits an atlas, a book, I don't think he's going to go bling, 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 bling. You understand what I'm saying? I think it probably won't do much at all.
No, but it will stun him, and then he hits the deck, and once he's on the ground, he's mine. Once he hits the ground, he's mine.
All right, Jay Sanders with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Auxiliary Police, joining the program here as we talk about this this arrest in Daytona Beach of a guy that allegedly assaulted a boy, and the guy got the crap kicked out of him by the father. We're looking at the mugshot of the guy after he got booked in, and his face doesn't look like it's been kicked in at all. They say the beating was brutal, but figure this stuff out before we leave the air this morning or this afternoon or today is anybody's guess. Here's one from Capture.
More and more every day.
The Crown. And it's called I Hate You.
Oh, this is so juvenile.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show is what it is. Sold out, baby.
Cats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
How are you doing?
Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Cats of Beverly Hills. You know what we have here this morning? We've got wine sellers and wine collectors. We got a bunch of people that drink wine. We're having a wine tasting here among the restaurateurs and the wine people here at Ted's of Beverly Hills this morning. So I've got a lot going on.
I know you're busy, Ted. I apologize.
Well, first of all, let me just say something. I it's all right with me, but I was in the toilet and I got Teresa banging on the door. Now this is a young lady who just started with us about a week ago, and she's banging on the door and she said, "Mr. Bell, Mr. Bell, Mr. Bell, Mr. Bell." And I said, "What?" And I'm sitting on the can, you understand?
I understand.
She says there are people that are bothering Teddy over at BJ's Ribs that are from the Phil Henry Show, and they want you. And I said, "Well, I'm not there." She said, "Okay, what do I tell them then?" I said, "You understand that I'm not there?" And she said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I'm on a toilet here at my own restaurant." She said, "Yes, sir." So
wait. This is the kid answering the phone at your place?
Yeah, the young lady. She's in training as a hostess. So thank you very much. Thank you. Great for good. Please tell all of your friends. Come on back to Ted's in Beverly Hills. Thank you. We got a lot of professionals here, Phil. You know, the restaurant doesn't open for a few hours, but we have had a wine tasting here starting at around 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m., you're saying you had a wine tasting?
Yeah, no, we've been going strong, Margaret, since 6 a.m. I know it's very early to start in, but we had no choice. I've got business that I've got to get done. These people want to have a some of the professional sommeliers, which is that term, Phil?
I don't think that's it, but it's the wine person.
Yeah, it's the wine person. You don't think that's it? Get a load of this guy. He just said, "Hey, hold on for a minute, Phil. Hey, you. Hey, hi. How do you like the food? Good. Yeah, I'm talking to a guy on the phone." And
Ted, are you that hard up for to share some lame-ass insult with someone that you just get any stranger?
Well, the guy is not a stranger. He's in my restaurant tasting wine. What do you mean hard up?
So you want to point out to people that I don't know how to pronounce or I don't know whatever that is?
It's called a sommelier. That's what it is, Margaret.
Yeah, no, you both have got it wrong. It is a sommelier. Yeah, I think that's it.
I think you're both wrong. I think I'm wrong. I don't think any of us know. And I think it's pretty embarrassing given the fact that you have a wine tasting going on at your restaurant.
No, it's not a wine. It's a wine tasting. It's a wine sharing. It's a bunch of people that sell wine. They're down here professionally. They're talking about wine. A lot of my friends in show business who can't get jobs are in the wine business. At least that's what they tell me.
So I got them all in here, and they're drinking wine, and they've been hitting it pretty hard since 6 o'clock, and I'm beginning to get scared. That's all I'm saying.
What's wrong, Ted?
I'm scared. Well, you go ahead and laugh if you want to, laughing boy. But it's frightening when people start hitting it at 6 a.m. This was going to be a professional event with wine tasters.
All right, so it's wine tasters. That sounds like you've got the public there.
No, these are professional cooks and chefs and restaurant owners, and they got a bunch of people with wine down from Napa and Mendocino and all those places. They're sitting in my restaurant, and they've been pouring it on, and I mean really hitting the ball a long way since 6 a.m. And it is a little frightening.
All right, well, then why don't you get everybody cleared out?
That's what we're trying to do right now. And I've got lunch service coming up here at 12 noon. I don't mind telling you that I'm a little in the bag myself, because what am I supposed to do, stand around and thank you, have some wine and not drink any? No. So I've been sitting here. I have down an entire bottle of Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, Ted, you sound pretty good for someone that has had an entire bottle. What are you worried about?
I'm worried about everybody else around here that can't hold their liquor. I'm worried about everybody else around here. All right. I just want to say one thing, Phil, about the one-man show that I got to get going. First of all, I had that young lady, or this little kid, this young lady that's training, was very scared because this guy at BJ's, which is the rib place, the lunch place across the street, was banging on our door saying that you were calling over there asking for me. What's the problem?
The problem was one word, Bud.
Holy Jesus.
I didn't know I had the wrong number.
Oh, you didn't know you had the wrong number. Maybe you don't know you've got the wrong planet, Bud. Have you thought about that?
Wrong planet, man. I've been saying that to you for a long time. Yeah, maybe you got the wrong planet. This is planet white man.
What? Planet white man? Man, that's not even... Dude, that's not even an insult, man. That's so stupid.
Bud, you gotta knock that stuff off, or I'm gonna kick your ass around the block for drill.
Bud, just... Dad!
You're always saying you're gonna kick his ass around the block for drill. Don't you know how to do it yet?
Well, that's a good one, Margaret. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Margaret, I got to hand it to you for that one. That's pretty good. Anyway, Phil.
Yeah, great going, Margaret.
Anyway, Phil, so they're banging on the door, and they come on. I said, I'm in the toilet in my own restaurant. I'm sitting on a toilet in my own restaurant. And she says, okay, great, I'll let them know. I said, you don't have to let them know. They already know that I'm not over there. Let who's ever on the phone know that. So she walks across the street and gets on their phone and talks to Dick. Did you talk to a girl?
Yeah, I thought it was that girl from your restaurant.
It was the girl from my restaurant, but she wasn't bright enough to tell them to just give you the message. She went across the street and gave it to you herself. That's why you were confused.
Oh, all right.
So in other words, this young lady, Teresa, is so dim, she went across the street to their phone to tell Bud that you were on the toilet in your restaurant.
No, she said it. You were on a toilet.
No, that's what I mean. She's so dumb, she didn't mention that she wasn't in the restaurant anymore, that she was at their restaurant to tell Bud that I was sitting on a toilet over at mine. And by the way, I don't know why she's got to share all that. Well, here she is right now. Teresa, honey, you did a good job. Don't worry about it. When someone calls for me, you don't have to tell them specifically what I'm doing. You know, you don't have to say Mr. Bell is sitting on a toilet, which I think is what you said. Yeah, you don't need to do that, honey. Well, just tell them that I'm not available at the moment. No, don't tell them what I'm doing. All right, I'm going to have to talk to her.
Well, it's part of the training process.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I guess it's part of the training process. But the fact of the matter, if I got to tell some kid that's training to be a hostess at my restaurant, oh, by the way, don't tell anyone that I'm sitting on a toilet. Just if I got to actually tell them that.
Well, it depends on the professional experience of the individual, Ted. You know, it really does. Some people are new to the entire process.
That may well be, but right now I don't have, I really don't have the mental capability to process all of this. I've been drinking wine since 6 a.m. Yeah, how you doing? Thank you very much. I got to get these people out of here. As far as the one-man show goes...
Okay, can I just ask you a question?
Yes, what? God almighty.
All right, never mind. Go ahead.
What do you want to ask?
How are you going to get them out of there?
I'll get them out. How am I going to get them out of there? By me just telling them to get out. I've been trying. Teresa, where's this hostess? All right, I'll tell you what. Rudy, you do it. Tell all these people. I got Jerry and Rudy at the bar. Tell them all that it's time to go. Ted, Mr. Bell says get out. All right. So, you know, Rudy works here. Rudy Canoza?
Is he there?
Yeah, he works. He tends bar here 3 days a week.
Let me talk to him. So,
yeah, you get Rudy. It's Henry. Hey, Rudy. It's Henry. He wants to talk to you on the radio.
Tell him.
Yeah, you tell him that.
Good morning, Mr. Henry.
Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
I'm very good, and I hope you are well yourself.
I'm good. So tell me what's going on over there.
Mr. Bell is having his wine tasting, and a lot of these people are people that I know, and I've done some business, import-export business. You know, South America has a burgeoning vintner business, and much of what I trade in stock is wine, so the people are here.
But I hear they've been there since 6 a.m.?
Yes, a great many of them have been since 6 a.m.
La, 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 la.
Yes, goodbye, Mrs. Cummings. A lot of them being here since 6 a.m., Phil, it's a drink of wine.
Hey, listen, Rudy, this is General Shaw. Are you going to do that la, la, la stuff? Because I just assumed...
General Shaw, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Rudy, but if you're going to do the la, 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 I'd just as soon go in the kitchen and just study myself, because, you know, it nauseates me.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm just being nice to some of the women that are wine buyers and wine tasters, some of the professional restaurant people over here, to taste the wine. Goodbye, goodbye. Nice to see you. Goodbye. Nice to see you.
La, 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 la.
Goodbye.
To me, that's about as weird and weirded out and freaked out as it gets.
It's Rudy's method and way of saying goodbye and hello.
Well, look, Phil, it's not like I'm some kind of giant grasshopper attacking Chicago. You know, what am I, a freak? I'm telling you, this is what I do. It's and my business is the business of business. That's what I do. My business.
Your business is the import-export business.
Yes, but Margaret, my business is to do business. Hold on for a minute. Mrs. Clinton, nice to meet you. Yes, I hope you enjoy it. Yes.
La, 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 la.
Yes. You see, the women appreciate this.
I understand about women appreciating that, but right now you're talking to Phil. I think it's a little rude that you're not paying full attention.
I'm waiting for Mr. Henry.
Yeah, he is. All right. Everybody, just allow me. Rudy, I understand. So the wine tasting's been going on since 6. That's awfully early to start a wine tasting. What's up with Mr. Bell that he was starting it that early?
Because the lunch rush begins very early at this restaurant. The people love to have lunch at Ted of Beverly Hills. I tend by here 3 days a week. Then I'm back doing my import-export as you tell me, lingerie.
Isn't that a little unusual, Rudy, that you have your own successful women's lingerie business, you also do some import-export, and you tend bar? Isn't that a lot of work?
Oh, no, I love people. It's great business contact. I love people. I always love people. I've always loved people, and I always love to make the business contact with the people, because I love people.
Yeah, you love people! Yeah, you love people!
They're giving you crap.
That's okay. You know, I listen to you, Bud Dickman. I listen to you, Robert Leonard. Your day will come. Rudy will pay you a visit soon.
Well, that sounds threatening.
No, it's not threatening. I'm just simply saying, you laugh at me the way that I speak, and yet, Dickman, you sound like a man who had his head removed. They looked inside to see if there was anything there. There wasn't, and they went ahead and sewed their head back on. And they did not put nothing in there, you know.
Man, that's the first good thing you said all day, man. At least beats the hell out of you going la 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 la. Yeah, that's all we're saying with the la la.
Hey, you guys, if you guys knew what la la and what the la la can actually do for you, you guys would be all over it like white on rice. But not you, no. You want to go your own way. You don't want to go Rudy's way. All right, fine. Have it your way. You can be the idiot. Rudy will not be an idiot. Rudy will be there with the
la 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 la.
No, not you, Mr. Perkins, though. No, sir. Very, very nice to meet you. This is your wife? That's a lovely lady. How are you doing? What is your name? Well, may I say, from my country to your country. Yes, nice to meet you.
I can't believe that that actually has a positive effect.
What does?
When you go la, 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 la.
Is he done with that yet?
General, just stay in the kitchen.
What is the general doing?
He's in the kitchen just leaning on a counter with his head down, almost as if he's trying to keep from vomiting.
You got that right. Man, I'll tell you, that takes the wind out of my sails.
You know, I don't mean to upset you, General, but for Rudy and the business that Rudy do, I mean, the business that Rudy does is important. Goodbye. Ba-da-da-da-da. Goodbye. Goodbye.
A-la-la-la.
Goodbye. A-la-la-la-la. Goodbye. Blah-la-la-la-la.
Thank God. That's the first time you've hung up on someone in weeks that I actually approve of.
Yes, Jerry.
It's not that I don't like Rudy. We had to lose Rudy, and we lost Ted, and that's the part that...
Can I call him back?
Yeah, you can call him back, but call Ted's of Beverly Hills, not that BJ's rib joint across the street. You understand?
Yeah, God.
Well, what are you, an idiot or something? You know how much time that wasted? So while we get that going, we're going to get back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of a break here, Riff Raff and Lava Glaciers on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And Moosey got the hairy frog.
All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, presents Mr. Stephen Bozell joining us now from his home there in Corona, California. Good morning, Stephen. We haven't talked to you in a while. How have you been?
I've been pretty good, Mr. Henry, although I've got to say, I'm feeling a little unsettled this morning because of the... I know that you wanted me to come to your show tomorrow night and do ask a question of you, and... It's a nerve-wracking experience, you know.
Well, you did it in our first show.
Yeah, I understand that, but you had me stand up, and I just hope I did a good job.
You did a fantastic job.
Steve, all the reviews were fantastic for everyone in the show, including yourself.
Oh, okay. You have me on a VIP, right, with my wife?
Yeah, we have you on the VIP list. You're going to be right there ringside. I'm just going to stroll over and ask you a question or two.
All right, I understand that, but last time you asked me a question. I don't want to go into that now, you know, but you had asked me questions on the minor bird, and I want to clarify some things.
Well, we did. We asked you about... I didn't ask you. You volunteered that you were suing... that you had sued Frank... that you had sued...
Frank is my husband, Phil.
I know that. That you'd sued Roy Hutchins.
Yeah, that is correct.
All right. So, I believe you volunteered that.
Well, I guess, but you... We're digging a lot of information out about what the minor bird called me, and it called me some very choice things, including references to my relationship with my mother, references to my relationship with my male co-workers. I mean, that bird went all around the world, man, all 69 states, excuse me.
We don't need that kind of language, thank you.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know.
Yeah, all around the world, all 69 states we don't need.
Hey, look, I want to ask you something, Mr. Bozell. This is General Shaw, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
There was an episode that I think that would be very good to bring up during the show. Didn't you get the mayonnaise shot?
I did take a shot. I did not take a shot. I had mayo. God.
This is a vulgar story.
Wait, hold on.
That's the best story that you ever told, Mr. Bozell.
Thank you very much, bud. No, I did not take a shot. I would like to clarify that.
Well, what happened was you were eating a sandwich, right?
I was eating we were at the beach, and I was with my wife, April, and my daughter, April Jr., and my son, Steve Jr., and we also had Tammy, and we had Brenda, the two cousins from my brother, Mike, who were visiting in from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I was showing the kids how to make a nice cheese sandwich because I love the sharp cheddar cheese on two pieces of white bread. And have you ever had that, by the way, Mr. Henry, too? Because it's very delicious. I'd recommend to the audience.
Cheddar, what is it?
Sharp cheddar cheese on two pieces of Wonder Bread, and then a nice, good layer of mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
Well, who said that? I'm sorry.
I did, Mr. Bozell. That does not sound appetizing.
I'm asking Mr. Henry, so, wow.
All right.
It sounds fine. I think I'd use wheat bread. How about that?
No, sir. I said to you, too. God damn. I said...
Look at Bozell. You can't expect everybody to have your taste in food.
Well, No, you can't. But if I'm bringing it up and I'm saying, are you kidding me? I mean, everybody likes cheese on a piece of bread.
I don't doubt that people like all kinds of... different cheese sandwiches. The grilled cheese people love almost universally. And I think that...
Mr. Henry, excuse me, but are you going to get to a point here? Because I wanted to say about the mayonnaise on my chin.
All right, yeah, I understand. You asked me, do I like it? I'm giving you my opinion. Two pieces of Wonder Bread, no. Two pieces of wheat bread, maybe we've got a starting point. Mayonnaise, I don't think so. I would rather have it grilled or something like that, or maybe put on a piece of turkey, you know.
So in other words, you don't even get it.
All right, so I don't get it.
But I was showing my son and my daughter and the cousins how to make a nice, beautiful, thick, you know, with a thick piece of cheddar, and you put it on two pieces. Anybody in the studio there?
That sounds pretty good to me, Mr. Bozell.
Who said that? Is that you, Bud?
Yeah, it's Bud Dickman.
All right, yeah, I appreciate that very much, Bud. Thank you. You got to admit, Mr. Henry, though, out of the five of you, and I got, that's the only endorsement I get out of this guy here who probably eats, he probably eats bugs.
God, what are you talking about, man?
I mean, I don't mean anything by that, Bud.
No, Bud doesn't eat bugs. So you were at the beach, and you were making this cheese sandwich, and then what?
Well, and then I made the cheese sandwich.
Hold on, what, Bud?
You got to talk about me eating a bug.
It just seems to me like you pick insects off a wall and just go, you know, like that guy. Never mind.
Like the guy in Dracula.
Yeah, to name just one of many movies that have done that.
All right, so you make the cheese sandwich.
Yeah, so I make a cheese gun.
And then what?
And I've got a... hold on. Hey, Steve Jr., go get the hoe, because that squirrel... Yeah.
This squirrel that you guys deal with, and the same thing with, what's his name up north, that guy, Dean Wheeler, you're flipping me out.
It's a migrating squirrel, Mr. Henry. I can't do anything about it. It migrates from town to town. What do you want me to do about it?
Migrates from town to town. All right.
Yeah, migrates from town to town. I mean, it was up at Wheeler's house, now it's down here.
Where's it going next?
I have no idea. Why don't you come down here and ask it? You want me to, hey, Mr. Squirrel, where are you going next? Oh, I don't speak squirrel. Yeah, I guess I don't know. God.
Look, will you get to the point, Bozell? Phil is being very patient. You got mayo on your chin, then what?
I just hope that none of you people...
Steve, please. You know, we're burning daylight, as they say.
All right. So I said to the kids, now watch me as I eat the cheese sandwich, what I just made. And a piece of the mayo that I, you know, you've got to ladle it on and slather it on pretty good. And some of the mayo dripped and hit my chin on the left side. And it was a wad that was sitting on my chin. And that's when my wife, April, she'd been putting away some suntan lotion. And she'd come up from the beach there with Mike's wife, Terry. And she said, you know, and her words are, for goddamn Bozell, it looks to me like you took the money shot on the chin.
The money shot. What happened?
I think he's gone.
Hello? So Steve is gone? All right. You know, we have to take a break, although we are a little bit early for the break, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Get him back on the line, will you?
All right.
So just so I can recap on this thing, and we got to have these phones looked at, Bud, if we keep losing people.
Could be it's got a cellular connection that isn't the best one in the world. Maybe not even our fault. You ever thought about that? No, probably not. But see,
all right, will you just call him up?
I think that if the man is slathering on the mayonnaise and the mayo is dripping and hitting the chin, I don't see how you can avoid a very innocent comment like that. You are walking around for all the world.
Well, it's a good point, Phil. You walk around with something like that, although it is mayonnaise, for Christ's sake.
I understand that, but you're walking around almost proudly.
Yeah, well, I think that you got to have a pretty filthy mind. Maybe not a filthy mind. Maybe just a kidding, a fun-filled mind. Hey, Steve, sorry about that.
That's all right. I saw the squirrel and I threw my phone in. I'm sorry.
You did what?
I saw the squirrel come down the tree and it was mad-dogging me a little bit, so I took my phone and I threw it, and it disconnected when I threw it. I apologize.
All right, well, try and control your temper around the squirrels when we get to the end of this.
Yes, sir, I will. I'm just telling you, the thing come down the tree, started to mad dog me.
Talk about a mad dog, he was staring at you?
Yeah, it was staring at me. It was boring right in, staring at me, and I looked up at it, and I gave it the look like, you want it, you come get it. And it only stayed there.
You know, this idea that you're talking to squirrels and that you've got mayonnaise on your...
Yeah, what about it?
I find all of this very oddly unsettling.
Allow me to continue interviewing my guest. So, Steve, she said you look like you took the money shot.
Well, she said it looks to me like you took a direct shot. You know, you took it off the chin, and I heard money. And I heard you took a money. You took the money off the chin, and maybe she didn't say that, but that's what I heard. Because you got to understand, when your wife looks at your chin and goes and points and goes, ha ha, looks. Hold on. You shut your. When your wife looks.
Are you talking to a squirrel now?
No, I'm. The thing. You could you hear that thing? So when your wife. Oh God damn it to hell! I will kill.
Call him back. Tell him if he doesn't lose those squirrels or ignore those squirrels, I'm going to be really, really pissed off, and we're not going to talk to him. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, what's the problem, is, Mr. Henry?
The guy's losing his mind.
Well, why are you going to have this guy? He's going to be at the show tomorrow night?
We got him VIP tickets, he and his wife, because they've been longstanding supporters of the show. So Steve's going to be there. I may or may not ask him a question. I don't know. All right, Stephen, Mr. Bozell.
Sorry, Mr. N, but you got to understand, I mean, you know, a man, when a man, you know, there comes a time when you've got to be a man. And that was the time to be a man.
When a squirrel is chirping or whatever it does.
When a squirrel, when anything, any living creature takes a good long look at me and says, you know, I want a little bit of you. And I say, well, you come and get me all you need. And it doesn't move.
Then you throw your phone at it. All right, Mr. Bozell, I think we have the story here.
Well, I haven't given you the specifics.
You gave me the specifics. Your wife said you look like you took one off the chin because you had a wad of mayonnaise on your chin, and you thought she said money shot. And I realized that Mr. Who was it? Your brother was there?
Yeah, my brother Mike was there, and his wife Wendy. And I was humiliated. I went into the truck.
And you broke down emotionally?
I had yes.
Okay, but what else came of it? Was there anything?
Well, there wasn't anything I could do. I had talked to Dolores. I talked to Dolores Blazingame. I mean, Dolores Blazingame. I called her Dolores. Isn't that interesting, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's great.
Shit.
So you talked to Dolores?
I talked to Dolores Blazingame. I said, "Can I sue my wife?" She said, "Why?" I said, "She mocked me in front of my brother and my sister-in-law by saying that wad of mayonnaise I had on my chin looked like I took the shot off the chin, just as they were running out of film." And
see, this is it. You add to the story more and more.
Mr. Bozell, that's exactly what you're doing.
Bozell, quit adding. People are going to think you're nuts or something.
Well, did it happen or didn't it?
I mean, did what happen?
Did she say that? Did she say you look like you took one off the chin just as if there was running out of film?
I'm telling you, this is what I heard.
What you heard and what was actually said, those are going to be contentious things. And I think that's what you got. Anyway, we're looking forward to seeing you, Steve. My very best to your family.
But if she said it looks like I took one off the chin and I didn't count.
So.
Well, that's again, Phil, that's your little playpen.
Yeah, Phil, good luck with a nut like that, you know.
I mean, the guy,
Yeah, good luck with a nut like that.
Yeah, good luck with a nut like that. Well, I've got a lot of experience working with you.
What a chop, man.
No, could easily have said about you.
Yeah, but he didn't.
All right, thank you.
And this is Margaret Gray for Toodaloo. Toodaloo is a great way for you to make sure everyone knows where you are at any given moment by simply buzzing them using the Toodaloo app. You use the Toodaloo app, enter in your name, then go Toodaloo into the special microphone. And then people who know you know where you are. If you're sitting on a toilet, if you're in bed with a cramped stomach, as I will be later on, if you are intimately involved with a man or a woman, if you're intimately involved with a man and you're a man, a woman and you're a woman, a man and you're a woman and you're a man, if you're all of those things and none of those things, the Toodaloo app lets people know where and what you're doing. There's a special hello button, a video screen, and special recording devices to track your every move and every sound that comes out of your body. If a friend wants to embarrass you, or perhaps even blackmail you, recording sounds coming out of you as you go to the bathroom, that can be done with the Toodaloo app. Remember, if it's up to you, it should be Toodaloo.
Fuck being on some chill shit. We go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick.
What are you looking at now?
Maybe on that rap to pay the bill shit.
Wow.
And now here we go again.
Well, get a load of you, Henry, criticizing the
work, nigga.
The Toodaloo app, huh?
In my words, nigga. How you so I've been still so down to earth.
Oh, now he's laughing.
Of course I'm laughing.
Serve, nigga. Oh, Lord. I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the bitches I ain't holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night.
All right, let's, David G. Hall, a couple of things to talk to David G. Hall about. First of all, one is this idea that, we're not allowed to use the word gesticulate. And now I want to find out about this Toodaloo app, because this is a beautiful thing, man. David G. Hall on the line with us here from his home in the beautiful city of South Pasadena. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Gesticulate. Let's just get to the chase here, okay? Because I'm making some breakfast, and I've also got to make breakfast for the kids this morning. And I'm watching Invested. Hold on. What do you want? I'm making oatmeal for these kids, so what do you want?
Gesticulate.
Yeah, I put that. I said Margaret could put that on the filter. I didn't say she had to. She asked me if she could. And I said it sounds pretty far out, and you know.
Well, did you ask her what it meant?
I don't need to ask what it means, Phil. It's quite obvious to me what it means. If you're trying to get away with it by simply saying, well, it may mean masturbation, but it's when you're laughing, or say, stunt a bet, it doesn't make any difference to me, because it has to go on the film. If she wants it on the film file, I say yes. I understand that the, what do you want? You want more of this oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
Jesus H. Christ. I got my nephews and nieces over here, Phil, and I'm making them oatmeal this morning. All right, here's bowl number six. How many more we got out there?
What?
I got about 15 nephews and nieces here staying at the house.
These are all your nephews and nieces from brothers and sisters and...
Yeah, from my brothers and sisters. What do you want? You want more? This is your second bowl. I got to get... No. You get out of here. I got to get the first one in. So gesticulate is quite obviously filthy.
Well, no, it is not. It means hand motion.
Yeah, I'll bet it does mean hand motion.
See, this is what I mean, David. He does not listen.
I'm talking about hand motion as the hand motion you make when you're talking to people.
Yeah. So far, you're not making it any better, it sounds. Now it's getting dirtier. What do you want? You want more of the cookies with cream?
Would you knock it off with that microwave and listen to me?
I'm listening to you, Phil, but look, you can say anything you want. She wanted to know, do I put it on the film file? And I said, yes, put it on there so that we're covered in case the FCC decides to kick the door down, drag everybody out of their houses in the middle of the night, send us all off to camps, strip us, gas us, throw us in pits. You understand what I'm saying? This is how bad it's getting.
Let me tell you what's getting bad. You and your perception of reality.
Oh, so I'm nuts, am I? Get a load of the balls on this guy. And second, what do you want? I got these nephews and nieces.
Any guy that's got that many nephews and nieces and he's feeding them all oatmeal at this hour of the morning, 10 after whatever the hell it is, 9, and,
Oh, are you saying that's weird or something? It's the summertime, hello? And they're over visiting because they want to use the pool. So, Jesus Christ, you kids, 40 minutes after you eat.
All right, David, now what about this other thing that was, This other thing that, what was the other thing?
What about the sponsor?
Yeah, what about the sponsor?
What sponsor?
Toodaloo. So in other words, no matter where you are or what you're doing, there's an app on a phone that can track your...
Yes, people are into that kind of thing. They want to know exactly what their neighbors are doing. They want to know exactly what they're not doing. They want to know every kind of foul odor, foul sound, every kind of movement, every kind of motion, so that they know that their neighbors are not involved in anything that may be anti-government, pro-government, anti-Tea Party, pro-Tea Party, anti-this, anti-that, pro-this, pro-that. They can keep track of all of you, and they can also keep track of the government to make sure the government isn't spying on them. You understand what I'm saying? God damn, would somebody give me a break with these oatmeals? That's your 15th one. I got a little niece here. She's a cute kid, but she's about as fat. Look at kid. She's a little fat, roly-poly kid. This is bull number 16.
All right, I'm going to let you go there with the kids. And so we're going to continue to use the word gesticulate. And the sponsor, Toodaloo. Man, here's what I see to Toodaloo. Toodaloo.
Oh, isn't that funny? Ha, ha, ha.
So that's what...
So in other words, get a load of Phil. Beggars can't be choosers, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you need the advertising dollars, don't you?
Not that bad. Not so that we got an app called Toodaloo. Hey, by the way, that's not a bad idea. Once we put Toodaloo out of business, I guess there's somebody out there that's going to... You're going to want to use Toodaloo. Has anyone copyrighted that? Or has anyone owned that thing by way of the register.com or anything like that?
What do you mean?
Well, somebody owned Toodaloo.com. I bet you somebody's registering it now. Does anybody own the name Toodaloo in terms of an app or in terms of a messaging service or in terms of a goodbye service or a... See, that's what I would use Toodaloo for.
Well, Mr. Everett, I mean, they own it. Toodaloo, I mean, everybody knows what Toodaloo is.
Everybody knows what Toodaloo is.
Yeah, Toodaloo is the app that...
I understand what Toodaloo is right now. It's an app that you track everybody's fart sounds. That's what it is.
No, no, no. 1,000 times no. Did you hear what they said? Toodaloo.
What is that, 1,000 times no?
I'm trying to emphasize... Just back off of me, Margaret, this morning. Don't, please don't. There's that piece-ass blonde, you know, that I...
Finish what you're saying.
Sorry. Toodaloo is already a company that exists that is involved in tracking people's movements for other people.
Yeah, but that's what it's all about. It's not you want people to track you. It's other people will track you if you want them to.
Other people will track me if I want them to. So when would I ever want anybody hearing every noise that comes out of the bathroom, every sound that comes out of the bedroom, every sound that comes out of you, no matter what time, morning, noon, or night?
No, we're not talking about Robert. We're talking about you.
I understand. I'm using the third person in a general sense.
Oh, yeah, okay. Don't you get it, Ms. Gray?
I get it. I think Phil is saying that to deflect this scrutiny from himself, to make it less personal about him and more general about the audience. I think it does communicate well with the audience, but I also think it makes Phil hide from the reality.
All right, Margaret, thank you very much. Your analysis is very much appreciated, but I really got to get going with this because I don't really give that much of a shit about it to begin with.
Oh, yeah, so you're angry, and that's why you're using the four-letter words.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway, you always know Phil's getting pissed off when he starts to drop those S and those F-bombs. Boy, you know he's pissed. Excuse me. Boy, you know he's pissed.
Yeah, thanks. All right, so having said what I just said, I don't understand why anybody would want the Toodaloo app. Okay, and thank you very much, David, and good luck with those nieces and nephews, especially that little fat one. What's he doing?
Yeah, he's got his nieces and nephews over, and he's going to use the pool. It's a pool day. Yeah, I always have them over on pool day.
Oh, it's a pool day. Okay. Pool day? Boy, it's pretty early, man. Out here, it's 9:15 in the morning. I'm saying, you know...
Well, Phil, maybe they spent the night. Who knows?
All right, but I mean, it's 9:15 in the morning. He's shoving oatmeal into these kids, and then they're going to go out to the pool?
No, Phil, it sounds to me like the kids are... They're having breakfast, and he's got them out lined up, and I say, let me tell you something. If I had that many kids... You know, that I had to feed, I'd put them in an assembly line like that. All right, one right after the other. You, all of you out there.
All right, well, good luck with that, David. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com as we continue on here this morning. And got some news to do's. Got some other stuff to look at. Got some weird, weird stuff happening worldwide and elsewhere.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Elcott, The Next Step. And this is Dr. Ed Elcott. Another beautiful day, as well as another opportunity to make this life your life, and to make this life your life within the embrace of Elcott, The Next Step. That's what we strive for, and... certainly hope that you can understand with us this process as we move forward in this world, perfecting the corpulence. And that is to say, to perfect not only the physical body, but we're here to perfect the mind and the spirit as well. I'm Dr. Ed Elcott. I am Elcott North. I have achieved a level of the Elcott priestliness or priesthood that enables me to speak with authority. That is, I am a teacher or an elder, or if you will, one who instructs on the process and processes of Elcott, The Next Step. And I am joined this morning by Chaffee Baker. Chaffee is Elcott South. I don't think we've talked with you, Chaffee, on the program before, though Chaffee is a member of our Elder Council. And Chaffee is going to tell us his story. Good morning, Chaffee.
Well, good morning. It's very much a pleasure to be with you.
And Chaffee, this morning we're going to let people in on what we call some of the proctor, that is the process or proces, which is the direct residual result of the awakening and the redeeming.
Yes. And just to pick up.
Go ahead.
The redeeming you were talking about is, for everyone that is listening right now, is that which purifies and makes excellent the physical flesh, so that one can operate, you know, in this world that we live in an elevated state.
Yes.
And what Dr. Elcott is saying to you, something also that I have been able to achieve myself, is a physical faculty that we use for good. Nonetheless, it is a step along the path of the four miracles.
And the four miracles, as we've told people, Chaffee, are the ability for bullets to bounce off your chest, invisibility, X-ray vision, and the ability to fly.
Right. Now, X-ray vision is a part and parcel of this redeeming quality that we're going to be talking about here. Some people have called it fire starter. Some people have called it the heat wave or heat, the heat of spirit. And sometimes we do use in Elcott, people probably would be interested to know, we do use in Elcott some slang and some colloquial terms, barbecue, hot foot, that kind of thing.
Well, I think it was Gary Rinaldo. Gary's no longer with us, but Gary Rinaldo was a member of the Elcott Preserve. He was an Elcott Preserve. He was a priest of the highest order, which was that he was put up and for the winter as a strawberry jam, right?
Yes.
And Gary Rinaldo was the one that gave this the four miracle, the third miracle, which is X-ray vision. He gave it its nickname, the hot foot.
Well, this is can be very misunderstood, I think, by people.
Yes.
What we use the hot foot for is to only enhance life, and it is not to destroy life. We are duty bound, spiritually bound, to only use this for the good. If it is ever used for the bad, you have forfeited. You have forfeited your position in the corpulent universe.
And what Chaffee is essentially saying there is that you have given up your place on this plane, and the priesthood, the priesterlies, then escort you from the physical plane.
Yes.
Now, this was something that happened to Gary Rinaldo that was disturbing for some of us, but nonetheless, we recognized that Gary had outlived his existence on this plane.
Well, Gary Rinaldo, who had come up with this phrase, with this term, hot foot, had used the hot foot to exact the level of punishment, I think, of a neighbor he had a property dispute with.
Yes, and again, what we're talking about is the ability, those of us here in the Elcott priestly level, our ability to use the hot foot or the X-ray vision at a level of temperature and heat.
Yes.
Whereby one can ignite something.
Yes. We can stare. If you saw in a gross comparison, if you saw the movie Firestarter, you saw in Firestarter, you saw a man stare at something, and he'd stare at it, and then it would burst into flames.
Yes, and we have at in our ability to stare at things
I'm actually looking at television right now. There's a cartoon on. Let's speak to that, can we?
Yes. We can be distracted, even though we are on a very elevated plane. We are on an elevated plane, and then, you know, we can, on this elevated plane, set fire to things. We also are distracted by cartoons, and we're distracted by action movie like Captain America and this.
So, Joe, you can see, even this morning, because there was a trailer on, the reason you probably were hearing a little halting speech was because we both, Chaffee and I both saw a cartoon come on, and then we also saw a trailer for the new Captain America film, and that distracted us.
Yes, it did. That's the only time you don't want to be distracted is if you have the hot foot or you are ready now to use the X-ray vision, even in your capacity as a priest of Elkhart, and you are doing good with the X-ray vision. If you're distracted by a cartoon or Captain America, the X-ray vision becomes very lethal.
Yes, it does.
And this is what happened to Gary Rinaldo, who was a preserve. Understand, the highest level of a priest is a preserve, and he was a strawberry jam that, quote unquote, an old lady had put up for the wintertime. Now comes Gary Rinaldo. He is a strawberry preserve. He's got the X-ray vision, and he is focusing the hot foot vision on his neighbor's house so that he can open that man's soul to truth.
Yeah, and again, this was, you can use the X-ray vision, the hot foot vision, or as we call it, in the very specifics of the Elkhart, the next step, it is entitled Candle Power.
Yes.
But we call it hot foot and so on. But the candle power was to be used to open the soul of his neighbor up to the truth.
Yeah. But Gary got distracted. And here again, as an African-American man, I could have been offended, but I had already achieved Elkhart South.
Your priestly nature enabled you to see more of the truth of Gary's soul.
Yes. So when Gary was distracted by a Bosco cartoon, now Bosco was a little black boy, and this was a cartoon that was created by it was created by the racists in Hollywood, and they thought it was funny. Well, no, it's not funny. So when Gary had seen the Bosco cartoon, and then he looking at his neighbor, why, the candle power X-ray vision turned into Destructo.
And now Destructo is the level below. It is Elkhart.
Yes, it's Elkhart, which is the demon.
It is Elkhart the demon. And Elkhart the demon is, therefore, Elkhart the demon is, hold on for just a moment, I'm looking at something here. It's another cartoon.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful because the cartoon, you know, it's going to be...
Yeah, I don't want to use my... I'm looking at a cartoon right now. This is who?
That's Betty Boop.
Yeah, see, Betty Boop, I don't know why it is, but my primal kundalini energies are aroused by Betty Boop.
A lot of people don't know Betty Boop. Betty Boop had a big head, and Betty Boop has big... I guess you'd say big boob.
Well, large breasts.
Yeah. And so Betty Boop has now aroused Dr. Elkhart to the point where he can't concentrate on what we're talking about. What if you were to change the channel?
I want to change the channel, but I'm still staring at this Betty Boop. I wish I could, but I can't. I guess that's just simply the... All right, this is Elkhart, the next step. I'm Dr. Ed Elkhart. With me is Chaffee Berger. Or Baker, I've even forgotten his name. I'm so distracted by both Betty Boop and the Captain America trailer. Gary Rinaldo did what, though? We really need to reach the end of this story.
Yeah, I'd like to reach the end of this story because I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive sitting in on this program with you while you are looking at Betty Boop's behind, you know, behind, or...
Well, it's technically called the behind,
because we try to immediately distort all sexual distraction so it is less of a distraction.
Right, so what has happened here? All right, very good. I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Elcott. So Dr. Elcott has been distracted by Betty Boop's behind.
Well, it's a cartoon character, and it is the characterization of her behind, or her butt, the Betty Boop butt, that has distracted me.
Yes. Now, Gary Rinaldo, and this name will forever live in the annals of Elcott the Next Step, because Gary Rinaldo not only was a great teacher and a great priest on the very high Elcott preservative level, but Gary will live in infamy as someone who wanted to open the soul of his neighbor using candle power, that is the X-ray vision that can ignite what we like to think of, ignite truth, ignite wisdom. And yet in Gary's case, it ignited, set fire to a shed on the southern portion of his neighbor's property and burned not only the shed to the ground, but burned the entire home to the ground. And Gary Rinaldo then became a fugitive of justice, not from the police, but from the Elcott overlords.
And the Elcott overlords are the enforcement arm of Elcott.
Yes, because now Gary had to be hunted and had to be extrapolated. That is, he had to be widened and dispersed.
And that was done how?
That was done using candle power. He was stood in an open meadow and using All Hail Elcott, All Hail Elcott.
All Hail Elcott.
Gary was then, they stared at him and he burst into flames. But of course, there's no pain or anything. He was already elevated.
So you can see that Elcott has its own priesthood. Elcott has its own enforcement arm, which is Elcott, the overlords. Elcott, even at the priestly level, can be distracted by Captain America trailers, Betty Boop cartoons, and others. And Elcott then also can be commingled and despoiled and corrupted by these images. Because we're talking here of Gary Rinaldo was a preservative.
Yes, and I think that that was what shocked a lot of us. And even you, Dr. Elcott, at your level, Elcott North, you need to be able to keep focus on the message.
And yet I was distracted here by cartoons, Betty Boop, every manner of distraction was there to my right there in my face. So it's quite challenging. Well, we'll be right back here on Elcott the Next Step. With me is Chaffee Baker. Chaffee is from the Elcott Redeemery, which is our ashram in Coalinga, California. We'll be right back with Chaffee to talk about living in the Redeemery there with the other Elcott priests. Chaffee is working on his preservative level. Chaffee, like myself, has candle power, and we can stare at things and make them burst into flames. We're going to be talking here about the temptations to set fire to things that make us angry.
Well, like it would, for instance, be you're in a restaurant and they don't seat you. There's a car wash. The guy gave you some lip.
All of these things are temptations to use candle power and just stare until your eyes become glowing coals and the individual bursts into flames, screaming, and people are running around. There's a power there, isn't there?
You are tempted to use it as a power, and it's very much a challenge to keep it on a humane level.
So we'll talk about that when we come back here on Elcott, The Next Step. I'm Dr. Ed Elcott here with Chaffee Berger.
This is Elcott, The Next Step. Brought to you weekly from Wampaw University in upstate New York, Witherton, New York, Wampaw, New York, and Wiachafia, New York. All rights reserved.
For a copy of Elcott, The Next Step, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Elcott, The Next Step, Wampaw University, Wampaw, New York, in care of Clearinghouse B. Again, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Wampaw University, Wampaw, New York, in care of Clearinghouse C. Please make it very evident on the envelope that you would like a copy of Elcott, The Next Step, The Biblical Interpretation. Elcott, The Next Step has been edited by Chafee Berger, as well as Dr. Ed Elcott and the late Gary Rinaldo.
And we join you again here from Wampaw University. This is Dr. Ed Elcott, and with me is Chafee Berger. Gary Rinaldo, the name will be synonymous, I think, with great strides and great disappointment.
Yes, and that's why we maintain Gary on the letterhead. His name is seen as you enter the halls of Wampaw, what we call the Hall of Wampum, which is the Elcott, Elcott, The Next Step. That is the Elcott, The Next Step Hallowed Hall, the Hall of Wampum. And Gary's name is very prominent above the door because he's done so much for so many people and was instrumental in moving Elcott, The Next Step forward. But at the same time, a disappointment that he was no longer able to maintain that level, and he set fire to that man's shed, set fire to that man's house, and then was on the run for a period of 72 hours before the overlords were able to locate him, talk him out of the cave that he was hiding in. He came out in a clearing, and he was given the hot foot by the overlord.
Now, as Gary was hot-footed or given candle power, he was on fire. He walked over. So you understand, this man was in flames, but he still walked over and got himself a drink of water, which extinguished the fire around his mouth, and then walked back to the center of the field, and then that was it. He disappeared.
Yes, he just disappeared. But he did get a sip of water, they say, out of the... we had the comment, "God, you know, something, excuse my language," he said, "God damn, I'm thirsty now. If I wasn't thirsty before, I'm thirsty now." And there was laughter from the overlords as they continued to pour it on, you know.
And the what they were doing was pouring on the flame from the eyeballs that go directly to the individual. And can you approximate the sound? Because there is a reverberation in the galactic tone. And I know, Chafee, you have that.
Yes. When we use candle power and we stare at something to make it burst into flames, you will generally hear this sound. Ooh. And all life within approximately 100 yards of the actual hot foot event, all life is frozen in time. So people stop in mid-stride. People stop, even if they're sipping soup, they'll stop with a spoon just a couple of inches from their lips, staring at the table. And that is so that they don't remember having seen the event.
Yes, Elcott has built into it these protections so that the gross level of humanity, those that are still of substance and have not dispersed into the spiritual, they won't remember anything they've seen because it would quite literally drive them mad with confusion and weirdness, to put it in the terms of the Elcott Bible.
Yeah, weirdness is not what a teenager may say. Oh, there's weirdness because he thinks that a friend of his is hopping up and down on one foot, or his parents said that he can't go out and everything's weird. We are not talking about that kind of weirdness. When weirdness strikes, there's confusion, there's a mob mentality, and there is the tendency for all the wrong decisions to be made on behalf of humankind. And so we don't allow that in Elcott. That's why in Elcott, The Next Step,
when we perform the candle power and give someone the hot foot, and you hear that, you know, on a gross level, you hear the atmospherics.
Yes, and that is the sound of the tone.
Yeah, when you hear, ooh, all life is frozen and people are in mid-stride.
When is that suspended, Chaffee? Because we've had some letters. Some people who are now in the very first stages of hot foot and candle power.
That is generally life returns to normal space and time, I'd say within 30 seconds of the event concluding.
I see.
So these are very, very specific things. Now, I want to get back to the distractions.
And we're going to take some phone calls because we do have people interested in the distractions that you were talking about. And you will be addressing your questions to Chaffee Berger, who is talking with us today about Elcott, the next step, and the ability for those of us here at the priestly level to vibrate and create hot foot and hot power. Mary, good morning.
Oh, good morning, and thank you. Hello, Chaffee. This is Mary Salisbury.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's been a long time. I was at your lectures in Calcutta.
Oh, my. This is a lady who is one of the fastest learners.
Mary, you're legendary among the Elcott priesthood.
Well, I would not have been able to do it without Chaffee Berger. He is legendary among all the novitiates.
My goodness. This lady was so able to embrace and encompass Elcott, the next step, fire power, fire starter, and candle power.
Yes, and what you were saying to Dr. Elcott is so interesting. When you spoke of the degradation, the decomposition, and distraction.
Yeah, have you experienced that yet?
We have. I am still here in Calcutta, India, because, as you know, we operate our soup kitchen and men's clothier.
This is, by the way, this is Dr. Elcott. Mary, how are you?
Dr. Elcott, you are another man that we speak so highly of. Thank you so much for your visit as well.
Well, I want to ask you how the men's clothier is going. They have a charitable soup kitchen there in Calcutta, and they also sell sports jackets. And it's very interesting, Chaffee, the criticism that they got. The city fathers there in Calcutta and other people involved in charity work said, in Calcutta, we need food. In Calcutta, we need medicine. Why are you selling sports jackets and tam o' shanters?
Yes, and you know what I think is great is the answer. I don't think anyone could answer it better than Mary. Mary, what did you say to them?
I said to them, and one of them was Rajneesh, the other was Bhaktivedanta, both of them members of the City Council of Calcutta, and they said that we were wasteful. They had a few very choice things to say.
And I know that you didn't respond in kind.
No, we respond only with love and understanding. I said to them that hobo is only one letter away from no-go, two letters away from no-go. And no-go is that state of paralysis that we know at Elcott as the rifting. That is, losing your soul before you die. They looked at me as if I was speaking Chinese, and to them it was Chinese. But it gave me the strength I needed to go on another day selling sports jackets.
And they never really did understand that, did they?
No, they never did understand that. They turned and they left, and that's the last we saw of them.
Well, this is Dr. Elcott. I noticed that both Chaffee and I are beginning to sound alike, and that happens among fire starters and candle power devotees when they are sharing the same space after a while. We become one person. We're going to have to say goodbye to Chaffee here before he melds with me and we become that mutant which transcends, which is another state in Elcott that you do not want. It is associated with Elcar.
That is true, and I'm going to say my goodbyes, but Mary, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chaffee.
And so there goes Chaffee Baker, Chaffee Berger.
I don't know his last name. It's not important. Last names are not important at Elcott, other than my last name, which is Elcott, the next step. Mary, thank you.
Okay.
That's really all I have to say to you. Did you want to add anything?
No, I thought you kept me on for a reason.
I'm sorry. No, I don't have anything more to say to you. If you have any other stories to share...
Well, I have some stories to share. I'm afraid they wouldn't be too terribly interesting for your listeners. We've opened up a Tam O'Shanter.
All right, so you're selling the Tam O'Shanter hat, the Scottish hat with the ball on top.
Yes, along with the sports jacket.
All right. Well, very good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's a very wonderful lady, because Mary has been sort of our good luck charm. She's one of the fastest, one of those who acclimated to Elcott as quickly as any I've ever seen, to the point where within a 72-hour period, she went from being a prostitute. Now, understand what I'm saying. This is a woman who was a prostitute, an Anglo-American prostitute on the streets of Calcutta. It doesn't get any worse than that. She wasn't even able to ply her trade in America. In fact, I had met her before I had become Elcott, when I was still on my gross level as Dr. Ed the Buffoon, as they called me when I first joined Elcott. I was a general practitioner and a drug addict, and I met Mary as she was hitchhiking, yes, on a Florida turnpike, and the first thought that came into my mind was, here is that Aileen Wuornos, the serial murderer. It would be a great way for me to end my life, to pick her up and have her blow my brains out of my skull right here on the front seat of my wife's new car. Well, God blessed me that day, because Mary got into the car and said, just take me down the street and drop me off. There's a bus station. I'm taking that bus to the docks here in Melbourne, and I'm going to take the next freighter. I'm going to sign on as a cook and take the next freighter to Calcutta. And I say, why? I've got a $20 bill that's singing to you right here. And she pulled out a .38 caliber and put it to my forehead and said, don't tempt me, because I'm in the mood for, you know, for a little bit of fun and relaxation before I leave. And I said, I won't. She got out of the car. She could have easily killed me that day. But instead, she was on her way to a new life as a whore in Calcutta. I'm sure you thought I was going to say on her way to a new life as an elevated being in Elcott. Yes, she was, but that wouldn't be for another 5 years. First, she had 5 more years of plying her trade, of selling, excuse me for saying this, her whore ass on the streets of Calcutta. And that she did. And so it was that she spent her time there until on a mission to elevate those in Calcutta in advance of the visit of Gary Rinaldo to Calcutta before he became a reprobate and set fire to a man's house. The story just, you know what I'm saying, Jimmy?
It's a long story, Doc. Maybe you should tell part of it next week.
Maybe I should tell part of it next week, because the story goes on and on and on. Gary Rinaldo visited. Gary was the one that initiated Mary. They think that that is where Gary went wrong, even though Mary is one of our most prized pupils. Gary returned to the States and set fire to that man's shed, and eventually was tracked down by the overlords and incinerated, and then remanded to a 5-year stretch with Elcar. Gary, at this point, is burning in the Elcott hell known as Elcar, and yet he will be elevated to his preservative state once he's done his penance. There's a lot that's going on. There's just a heck of a lot that goes on in Elcar. If I may, I can play back the tape recording made by the overlords when Gary elevated on that day in 2011, as he was incinerated by the overlords. Here's... There. How about that, huh? Isn't that something? That was an actual tape recording made by the overlords of Gary getting the hot foot
and then being consigned to the Elkhart Hell, where he is to this day. He's got another 2 years before his time in the Elkhart Hell, Elkhart, is finally done, and he's able to reassume and reintegrate into the great reintegrative process, and of course the Redeemery, and that is the priesterly seminary that we have in Coalinga, California, which is, by the way, where Chafee Berger is on his way to right now, and Chafee's at a very safe distance, so we can talk to him on the phone. Chafee, so you're in the car, you're on your way back to the Redeemery, right?
Yes, I'm on my way back to the Redeemery right now, and I want to say to everyone, thank you. I am at a safe distance now, so I cannot be reassimilated into Elkhart to become the freak, the mutant of Elkhart, but I am my own man.
And you're going up north. Are you going to stop there at Haynes Ranch for an onion loaf?
I believe I will. Yes, I do. I believe I will.
So good. So delicious. All right. So good to talk to you, Chafee. All hail Elkhart. All hail Elkhart.
All hail Elkhart. All hail Elkhart. I are not on drugs no more. I are not on drugs no more.
I are not on drugs no more.
I are not on drugs no more.
All right. Well, a wonderful man there, Chafee Burgers. Taught us an awful lot. Whether his last name is Berger or Baker, I can't remember. We willingly insult and dismiss people's names here in Elkhart because people's names mean nothing to us. Hey, you is often what you will hear in the Redeemery at many of our Elkhart jamborees, which are the functions that bring us together from all parts of the globe. We've had our 50th annual Elkhart Jamboree. This jamboree, by the way, Elkhart itself is only 10 years old, so the 40 preceding jamborees were Boy Scout jamborees because so many of us were Boy Scout leaders. By the way, we have nothing against homosexuality in Elkhart, but there are no homosexuals in Elkhart, only heterosexuals. We do not discriminate. We don't keep homosexuals out of Elkhart. There just simply are no homosexuals. And we've actually done a survey, are you a homosexual? And we'll stare right into a person's eyes using, yes, the hot foot stare. It doesn't mean we're going to burn you down. And I think people have that mistaken sense, Jerry, you know?
Well, I think they think you're going to set fire to them.
No, not at all. Are you a homosexual, Jerry?
Well, I see the coal-like eyes.
No, my eyes are burning coal red only because I am... You should feel comforted by that.
I don't. I feel threatened by it. The coal burning... You have coal red, two coals for eyeballs right now. Two red-hot coals for eyeballs.
So you don't... Do you want to tell me the truth?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not a homosexual.
Well, were you telling me the truth there?
No, I was not, because I see that your eyeballs have now receded and they are now regular eyeballs. Ah, now they're glowing red again. No, I'm not a homosexual.
See, that's how they get around it. When the eyeballs cease glowing for the hot foot rev up, the individual will then lie and say, no, but I'm not going to hurt you. I'm simply, the eyeballs are glowing red because I am at my heart and soul a homophobe. Even though I would never harm anyone. You see, on the very gross level, I'm a homophobe and a former member of the Nazi Party. But on the refined, and that is Elkhart, the awakening step, I are not on drugs no more. I are Elkhart.
Yes, I understand, but it's still kind of scary.
Well, there you go. That's the goofy and kooky part of Elkhart. My goodness, what a morning it's been. We've talked about the Redeemeries, the new Redeemery having been built there in Coalinga. We've introduced you to Chafee Baker, who's one of our priests, Elkhart South, working on his preservative status. We talked about the exalted yet reviled status of the late Gary Rinaldo, who was a preservative himself and is now cooking in Elkhart Hell. However, he will be redeemed and will elevate to Elkhart yet again. We talked about Mary in Calcutta, who at one time was a street-walking tramp, a whore on the streets of Calcutta. And today she operates our soup kitchen and men's haberdashery and sports jacket shop there for charity. She sells tam o' shanters and plaid sports jackets to the beggars and to the lepers. And of course, introduced you to the concept of Firestarter, Hot Foot, or as we call it, Candle Power, the ability of many Elkar, many in the Elkhart priesthood, to siphon from Elkar the negativity and turn it into the positivity of Candle Power. That is to stare at something with our eyeballs and set fire to it, as you hear the substrata. And it was Chafee Baker who gave us the sound of the substrata as one uses the fire starter. And here is a tape recording of it. Roll back to segment 4, and that would be take 6.
Ooh. Yes.
That is the sound of the substrata as we use our eyeballs to stare at an individual, make him get into a car, and drive it into a wall. Although we would never do that, I'm just taking that from Village of the Damned, which really, I think, puts a very bad, bad spin on Candle Power, because those children from that alien world were pure Elkar. There wasn't anything Elkhart about them. They were from the Elkar hell, and they used the substrata. Hit the tape again. And they would blow some poor bastard, excuse my French, into smithereens, or cause a guy to blow his head off with a shotgun. Well, we thank you very much for being a part here of Elkar, The Next Step. Elkar, The Next Step is simply the podcast. There is so Elkhart, The Next Step. Elkar, The Next Step is not a podcast. Elkhart, The Next Step is severing your own penis with a skill saw. That, I really have to emphasize this with you, that Elkar, The Next Step is pure negativity. Avoid Elkar. Avoid Elkar.
Avoid Elkar.
All hail Elkhart. All hail Elkhart.
IR, not on drugs no more.
IR, Elkhart.
All hail Elkar.
You said Elkar.
Sorry, Elkhart.
I have to keep an eye on Jerry now for the next 48 hours because he may be diffusing to his gross level again.
I are not on drugs no more.
Yes, just keep saying that. Well, we want to thank all of you for being with us on this edition of Elkhart, The Next Step. And remember, Elkhart, The Next Step is just a self-addressed stamped envelope away from you redeeming yourself and learning the triad of Elkhart. That is, the awakening, Elkhart, The Next Step, and the Redeemery. Until next time, this is Dr. Ed Elkhart saying, I are Elkhart, but I are not Elkar. I are.
Elkhart, The Next Step, from Wampaw University, has been a presentation of Wampaw University's Department of Agriculture, Dr. William Suffolk, Student Advisor. Elkhart, The Next Step, both the brochure and the biblical translation, can be yours by simply sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to Wampaw University, New York, New York. I.R. Elkhart. I have stumbled grammatically. I need to start all over again.
All hail Elkhart.
Elkhart, The Next Step has been a presentation of the University of Wampaw's Department of Agriculture, Dr. William Suffolk, Student Advisor. For a copy of the brochure or the biblical translation of Elkhart, The Next Step, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Wampaw University, Elkhart, The Next Step, in care of Dean Hager. Dean Hager, Post Office Box 1291, Wampaw Village, Wampaw X, Wampaw, New York.
Elkhart, The Next Step is coming to your neighborhood. Would you like to hear from Dr. Ed Elkhart? You can have him as a speaker at your function. Whether you have a social club, or a political club, or perhaps a prayer group or a study group, Elcott, The Next Step is available. Write to Dr. Ed Elcott, Wampaw University, Attention, Public Speakers Bureau. And Dr. Ed Elcott can be a part of your next neighborhood function.
All hail Elcott.